All right, everybody, welcome back to the Heath Barn. Hope we're having a great day. This episode, episode 113, very special episode. Adam Niemerg, state representative, visited the barn today. We had a great conversation. We start off by him talking about where he's from and his childhood, things like that, the town he is from. I have some childhood memories of it as well, so we talk about that just a little bit. Then he talks about his older years, what made him want to get into politics. We even talk a little Illini hoops. And then the last 8 to 10 minutes or so is very important. He explains a lot of things. It's very informative. And he tells us all what he stands for and why he thinks that he should get our write-in vote on March 19th. So very, very good episode. I edited a little bit to make it shorter so people can easier to listen, things like that. It's not one of the longer ones. It's quick. I will say this, maybe it might come out, everything's just fine, but you may have to turn it up a little bit more than usual because, of course, of all days, I think the battery was low on my recording. So you may have turned it up a little bit more, but it's worth it. It's a very good interview. He did a great job. He's a great guy. Very, very thankful that he came in. So enjoy the episode. It is Adam Niemerg, state representative. Welcome to the Heath Barn, and let's get it. Everybody, welcome back to the Heath Barn. Hope we're having a great day. This is episode 113, and I am thrilled to have State Representative Adam Niemerg here. Adam, how you doing?
I'm doing great, John. Thanks for having me on here today.
Yeah. Hopefully you'll still think that here in about 45 minutes or so. Well, I'm very happy to have you on. I think that maybe we should just kind of start from the beginning if you want. Maybe talk a little bit about where you're from, things like that. Tell people from this neck of the woods that might not be as familiar with you a little bit about yourself.
Absolutely. Happy to do so. During redistricting 2 years ago, I am in my second term as a state representative. I served a different portion of Southeast Illinois my first 2 years. Now I'm in my second 2 years, and I picked up all of Edgar County. So it's an honor and a privilege to serve. But I am from Totopolis, a little small town just outside of Effingham and Effingham County.
Absolutely.
Yep. Born and raised in T-Town.
Yeah. I was telling you before we came on, I have memories of T-Town from, when I was in grade school. We were talking about one of my older sisters played for Shiloh in the late 80s, and they made it to state all 4 years. So I was lucky. I got to go to the Assembly Hall and watch. She got to play 12 games at the Assembly Hall, so it was really cool. But T-Town, it was always 1 year. I remember they had to beat them to get there, I believe, and then the year that Shiloh got second, T-Town beat him by 2. So I always remember from a young age. And then in high school, I remember playing against them like in a summer league tournament at Vandalia, I think. But you always just hear about them. And a lot of schools, it's hard to sustain something like that over decades, but they've been able to do it in every sport, pretty much, wouldn't you say?
I played high school basketball. I didn't play baseball. I kind of should have probably played baseball, but yeah. Our baseball team always does an outstanding job. Our basketball teams always do an outstanding job. When I was in high school, I graduated in 2002.
Right.
The 2000 class, guys like Andy Gobzinski, he played for Eastern Illinois University.
Yeah.
They were really good. They finished second in state. But they always say it's either the corn, or something in the water.
Right.
But just a very a good community. I live between Totopolis and Diederich right now. We're still in T-Town School District, but I built my house on my grandpa's family farm ground where I reside today with my 8-year-old son and my 5-year-old daughter and my wife of 13, almost 14 years.
Nice. You were talking about when you were young, how'd you get to that house? You said when you were 14...
Go ahead. So that's something I'm glad you brought it up. It's something I never really talk about on the campaign trail.
Yeah.
But my dad worked at a local cabinet factory in Totopolis called Stevens Industries for years.
Uh-huh.
And he started his own business in 1995, a small candle company. We started it out of our garage of our house.
Yeah.
And I would be out there, you know, some guys were out milking in my area. I was out popping candle molds when I was 11 years old.
Right.
But fast forward a little bit, I was 14 years old, and we lost our home in a house fire there. Yeah. And rural Totopolis, just outside of town, north of the old Crystal Club. People in the area are familiar with that. Gotcha. But we had a house fire in 1999. Uh-huh. And then we literally had to start from scratch. And my dad built his home out at my grandpa's farm ground, started the company again out of the garage again, and just had to build from scratch with absolutely nothing. So,
yeah.
You know, folks, when we talk about our conservative values, we talk about small business, we talk about entrepreneurship. Here on the 102nd District, I have lived it and breathed it my entire life.
Yeah, that's awesome. One thing I was going to ask you too, what's the population of T-Town?
1,400.
Yeah, yep. The same as here, pretty much. And does anybody co-op into that district, or is it just only Totopolis?
So
are there any other small towns that...
It's just Totopolis, but the way it was set up years ago, and they consolidated about 2005, you had small schools you have T-Town,
yeah.
You had T-Town Church, then you had Bishop Church, Green Creek Church, Lilyville Church. Everybody's a very strong Catholic. So Bishop Church had its own school. Lilyville had its own school. Green Creek had its own school. Those were small, first grade through sixth grade schools, and then yeah. They were consolidated. So now it's just all of Totopolis. But everybody in those outlying schools would have ended up at Totopolis once they hit junior high. But now everybody goes right to T-Town, the entire K through 12.
Gotcha. How about college and things like that? Where'd you go to school and all those good things?
Well, I worked through college, and I was on the 6-year plan. You could say so.
I could relate to that.
Yeah,
I'm not a doctor, but I can relate to that.
Yep. Yeah. So I went to Lakeland. I went to work several times throughout college, especially when I was at junior college at Lakeland. So I'd take a semester off, go pour concrete or something,
uh-huh.
or pick up a hammer, do something, or go to work for my dad. I would do that. Also, we had a very small mom-and-pop little drive-through restaurant in Effingham called Cruisers. I'd go there and flip burgers.
Yeah.
And I just was paying my way through school. But once I went to Eastern and I pursued a bachelor's degree in history,
uh-huh.
That's when I worked through it, but I didn't take any time off. So for 2 years at Eastern, I went through it and I was able to finish with a bachelor's in history, which I thought I was going to go into teaching,
mm-hmm.
but I just had life took me a different direction.
Yeah, and what kind of made you want to get into politics?
Well, my family, every time we'd sit around the kitchen table, and this is something that just ever since I was a little kid, my grandpa, my uncles, they would just sit at the kitchen table. And they would argue over politics. I listened to Rush Limbaugh my entire life, but I yes. never thought I would take that next step. So when I graduated college, my dad's business, it wasn't enough to sustain me coming on. He's really still, in the state of Illinois, anybody who runs a business knows how hard it is, especially a small business.
Yeah.
So I decided I was going to go to work after college, and I needed money right away because I had a lot of student loan debt,
right.
and I needed to get a job.
Yeah.
So I went to work for a country financial being a claims adjuster. So I was out on grain bins, combine fires, tractor fires, flooded basements, house fires, you name it, I've done it. I've done a lot of traveling.
Right.
So I decided to do that. And then once I did that, I got married, built a house, started a family, and just started to go through life.
Mm-hmm.
But then you fast forward about 10, 11 years. And I saw some bills that were coming out of Springfield. One, I'm very pro-life legislator, is really the reason that I ran.
Yeah.
I saw a bill that was coming out of Springfield that just basically you can have an abortion at any time, partial birth, anything you want, partial birth abortions, anything in the state of Illinois, just
right.
whatever you choose to have, you could have it. And that really bothered me.
Yes.
And at that same point in time, the then state representative, Darren Bailey, was running for state senate.
Uh-huh.
So there was an open seat in the 109th district. I had zero political acumen whatsoever.
Yeah.
My wife and I sat down, and I actually asked her in September, late September of 2019. I said, honey, I think that I want to pursue this seat because our values are being trampled on here in Southeast Illinois.
Right.
And she said, you should do it. She right away, you should do it.
Yeah.
So we had zero political acumen, no friends in politics. I decided as a claims adjuster, blue-collar guy, just running around working claims, to enter this career and try to run as a state representative. So it was like drinking from a fire hose.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say, how much of a, not shock, but you know what I mean? How much did it change? Because at the time you were married, did you have, you have young children, things like that. So how much of a change was that, you know, deciding you wanted to pursue something like that?
It was a lot of change. So my daughter was 2. My son was 5-ish, somewhere around in there.
Yeah.
And I was gone a lot. And ultimately, that's why I'm doing what I'm doing, is to leave something better for my kids, to make sure that there's something in Illinois that whenever they're taught in schools that this ridiculousness that they want to take out of Springfield, and we'll get to that later, is it doesn't end up in their textbooks, doesn't end up in their school curriculum. I want to be critical thinkers and to learn.
Yes, yes.
So that is really at the core of who I am. But the learning curve, having to really, my dad would always say, get with the program and be productive. You know, that's something that's always instilled in me from day one. Be productive, get with the program, get to work.
Yeah.
So for those months that I was running, candidates just started to trickle out. There were 4 originally that were in the race in the primary for that particular seat, and they just started to drop out. Because when I decided to do something, I especially on this, I'm going to be everywhere all the time and do everything that I possibly can to get my name out and to tell people who I am and what I believe in. And now I'm doing that to say this is what I've done as well.
Right.
But it was definitely a big learning curve, especially not being in politics and not knowing all the movers and the shakers. So that was something that once you had your eyes open to that a little bit, you're going, whoa, oh my gosh, right. let's get to work.
And how much of a, I guess, as far as all those things, just kind of, I don't want to think how I phrase this, the movers and shakers, I guess, like you said, how much of surprise was that, and how long did you feel like it took to really feel comfortable with, you know, the way things are in politics and things like that?
Yeah, I don't think you're ever really comfortable with it.
Yeah,
and that's something, the situation that we find ourselves in with a write-in campaign.
Right,
you're never really comfortable. You know, you never know what's going to come out of left field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a history of making all the right people mad, as we see here today with the special interest groups in Chicago and in Springfield. So you never really get comfortable with it. But you kind of realize who is pulling the strings here, there, and who's in whose camp, who's doing what. And you learn these things, which is really important. But you never really get quite used to the political life. And I don't think that if anybody does get used to it, if they settle in, if they just want to be a rep, if they just want to be a placeholder to draw a pension, to draw a salary, to be a, like, you know, sometimes you put a little person in a big job.
Right.
It's a power situation.
Yeah.
I never want to do that.
Yeah.
That's something that if I ever get comfortable, if I ever say, oh, I have this figured out and I'm comfortable and I'm just putting on cruise control, I'll not run for re-election. If I ever feel that I've got nothing to serve, that there's nothing left in the tank, or that I am just going to say, oh, okay, I'm just going to sit back and be a placeholder, you won't see me run for re-election, because I see people in Springfield that do that all the time, and that's a disservice to every person that they represent.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. It's like, just for a minute.
Sure. Yeah.
You said you're an Illinois fan. You've gotten away from a little bit because you're a busy, busy guy, but do you have any players or anything like that from when you were a fan that you enjoyed watching the most or anything?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so when I was in college during the 05-06 team.
Yeah. See, I got a little Etsy right there. See that little drawing right there?
Yeah.
That's the 05 team.
Oh, yeah.
With Derek, yeah.
Those were the guys.
Yeah.
And I remember that Arizona game.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. That was amazing.
Yeah.
And I didn't think that there was a chance, because 01 Arizona beat Illinois.
Yes, we had 6 guys file out, and... Yes, that was whatever. Did you ever make any trips to the Assembly Hall or anything, or State Farm Center?
Yeah, watched a few of the games. I went to Eastern,
but
my cousin was at U of I, so I get up there as much as I could to visit. And yeah, that 05-06 team, that was a that was a heck of a ride. And I remember that 05 team. Remember where they had Luke Walton?
It was
the 01 game, wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes.
And Bill Walton was calling the game.
Yes, of course.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, I know. And then 6 guys fell out. And he's calling the game. Oh, man, like, they're so rough and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. So that 05, that win, again, I'll never forget that win against Arizona. That was awesome.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you don't have to get into this any more or less than you want to, but if you would like to, just kind of give people reasons why you feel like they should get your write-in vote on March 19th, which is my birthday, by the way.
It is. Yeah. Okay. Well, happy early birthday.
Oh, yeah. We won't talk about the age, but you're younger than I am. Yeah. That's what's funny. It's like, you know, it doesn't take as much anymore for people to be younger than me. So, you know, go ahead and talk about March 19th and what's going to be going on and what we should be looking for, you know, to get your vote and things like that.
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. Actually, my birthday's this Sunday. I'll be the big 4-0 this 4-0. Sunday. Yeah, the big 4-0.
Nice. Yeah.
So my wife says, "What do you want to do Sunday?" So I've got to work. So why don't we talk about it on the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th? Let's do it next weekend. But folks, yes, thank you so much for the opportunity to discuss this, John. But as you can see the sign here, you're going to need to write me in, which means you fill in that bubble. So you have to fill in that bubble and you write my name in. So get it as close as you can, NIEMERG. It doesn't have to be perfect. They will give you deference on that. But here's what happened. On December 11th of last year, the Vermilion County Democrats challenged my petitions on a technicality. We didn't quite understand what they were doing or what they were getting at. We get to Springfield to be deposed at the Illinois State Board of Elections, my notary public and myself, over my petitions. What we found is the 1,500 petitions, and you only need 500 to run, and nobody was running against me. Mm-hmm. The 1,500 that you need were absolutely fine. It was the top document, the statement of candidacy, that you put on top of all of those petitions. We are in the deposition where the attorneys are asking questions. And the hearing officer, who I found out was a registered lobbyist, and the attorney there for the Vermilion County Democrat chairwoman who challenged my petitions, turns out is doing this at the behest of the teachers' unions, the Chicago teachers' unions, the Illinois Federation of Teachers, the IEA, etc. They don't want me in office anymore. So this all starts to happen. Ultimately, what they say is, since they asked me this question, did you raise your right hand and were you sworn in by the notary public when you signed this front page that just says you're running for office? I said, no, I've never had a notary swear me in. My notary came in. They asked him the same question. He says, no, I did not swear Adam in when he signed that document in front of me. Ultimately, in the brief, that is what they decided was the election violation. They removed me from the ballot based on that, which was absolutely ridiculous.
Yes.
You fast forward a couple of weeks later, and they are recruiting candidates. They're recruiting candidates from all over the district, trying to get somebody to run as a write-in against me, because you have to file in every county clerk's office throughout the entire district. And I had already done this myself, knowing what had taken place. Mm-hmm. They couldn't find anybody. Finally, they found somebody, but they misrepresented the facts on what was actually happening.
Yes.
So once that person figured out what was actually happening, they said, no, I'm not going to be a placeholder for the woke teachers unions. You guys keep your money. I am not running against Adam. You lied to me about what was happening.
Yes.
So they found my opponent on the very last day with 4 hours left on the deadline to file as a write-in. Once he said yes, they had 4 hours to hit the district. So all my opponent didn't do it. He had the teachers union's affiliates do it.
Yeah.
They went out and they filed in all counties. They did miss Jasper County, which is very close to my home. They did not file in time, so he cannot get a vote in Jasper County.
Gotcha.
Fast forward again another few weeks. It's just a couple of weeks ago. Once they put $100,000 into my opponent's campaign coffers, we're talking about Illinois Federation of Teachers, the teachers unions, and folks, do your research on this. Go to the Illinois Federation of Teachers website. First thing that comes up is Black Lives Matter, how to be a Black Lives Matter activist in your classroom. Second thing that comes up is critical race theory, how to teach critical race theory in your classrooms. And then it goes to the J.B. Pritzker, with signs of J.B. Pritzker's legislative agenda. So this is as woke as it possibly can get.
Yes.
They put six figures into his campaign coffers. Then they start campaigning with 3 weeks to go till the March 19th primary.
Right.
They didn't cycle one petition. They got removed off the ballot. And now they're spending money. This is not a grassroots uprising against me. This is a coordinated attack by the Chicago teachers unions and Springfield elites that want me gone. And the question you have to ask yourself is why? Because since they put in that $100,000, they've put in another $300,000. They actually hit their limits.
Yeah.
And they had to open up a pack, a special pack, to take unlimited contributions just to get rid of me.
Huh.
So you have to ask yourself why. Why is one of the most conservative legislators who has an outstanding voting record, who's there pro-life, pro-Second Amendment, I'm endorsed by the Illinois State Rifle Association, Illinois Fraternal Order of Police, Illinois Citizens for Life, Illinois Farm Bureau, Congresswoman Mary Miller, 12th Congressional candidate Darren Bailey, everybody top down, over 100 endorsements from folks in our communities. Every GOP chairman has endorsed me. So you got to ask yourself, why are they coming after me? And the answer is very, very clear. It's because I talk about the issues that are going on in schools. There is such a detachment between your teacher versus what is happening in Springfield and Chicago from these special interest groups, these teachers' unions.
Yeah.
They're the ones that bast our kids. They're the ones that shut down our schools, and they're the ones that are pushing. It's SB 818. It's a sex ed bill. They're pushing, and this bill passed. Kindergartners, they're talking about gender identity. You don't know the difference between a boy or girl if you're in kindergarten. Third grade, gender hormone treatment. Telling my third grade son about gender hormone treatment, how to get it, and what the processes are.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the things that I'm talking about. There's more bills that are coming. There's one right now where it removes all authority from school boards and a teacher, and it lists it, LGBTQ, Black Lives Matter, critical race theory, can teach in these schools, and the school board has zero authority. Yeah. The Illinois Federation of Teachers that removed me from the ballot and is now pursuing for my opponent to get me, you know, to lose a write-in campaign, they are listed as proponents of that bill. So, guys, this is a fight for our kids' future, and this is not a grassroots uprising against me, and that's why on March 19th, I humbly ask for your vote so I can continue to stand up for our conservative beliefs. So fill in that bubble and write in Adam Niemer.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I have, you know, we have a son in the first grade, and that's extremely important to me. I mean, that's, yeah, I won't get into all my thoughts on it, but that's very well said. Well, this was nice and good and to the point. That's good. But I'll just say this. I wish you the best of luck on March 19th.
Appreciate that.
I'm really, really glad that you came in and even came all the way into the barn. Do you like it or no?
I think it looks great. This reminds I like everything in here. You've got Seinfeld. I'm a big Seinfeld fan. Oh, you've got Caddyshack. I'm a big Caddyshack. This is an 80s room. Suits me very well.
I'm thrilled you came. I'm glad we got to chat. And
me too.
Again, best of luck on the 19th.
Thank you, John. I appreciate it.
Here's my little closeout. My son was like in kindergarten whenever I was starting this, and I didn't have a closeout line. I tell this to some people on here, and I told Stevie, I was like, well, what should my closeout line be? And he just said, that's that. I'm like, okay, I'll do it. So, thank you very much, Adam Niemer, for being here. And that's that.
That's that. Thank you.